Hello and welcome to the OC5 Questcast. Yes, we're calling it the Questcast, folks. This is the Ubercast. For those of you who have been listening for years and years and years and years and years, the OG fans, the enthusiasts, you know what this is. This is the podcast that we do after the event where we debrief, we decompress, we talk about everything we learned at this podcast or at this event. And we're doing a podcast. And so we've had the Super Duper Ubercast, the Coffee Cast, we've done some of the Ultra Cast. We've done them all. We're calling this the Quest Cast. This is Oculus Connect 5. We're in San Jose, California. I am in one of the weirdest situations right now because I am standing next to a recorder while I have 10 super enthusiastic VR nerds around me who couldn't wait to talk about what they're doing and what their thoughts were on this event. So let's get started right here to my left. Introduce yourself and tell us who you are and why we care.
Thanks, Kyle. my name is Sky Knight. I'm extremely passionate about education and believe that everybody should be able to learn anything, anywhere, and defy the distance and boundaries of our reality. And if you like that, then you should reach out to me at VR Insider on Twitter.
Totally awesome. Go for it.
I'm Gerald. I do video game development in my spare time, and I have a little LLC called RGB Schemes. Check us out on Twitter or follow me at Twitter, GEMISIS.
Awesome.
I'm Jeff. I am a software test analyst and VR enthusiast. Kind of middling around with a beginning dev, and you can follow me on Twitter at REDUSJ.
Alright, who's next?
Are we doing the Twitter plugs for everybody?
You know what, just do it. It started, it happened, let's do it. Yeah.
Blair Renault, I'm an OG, made it some shit. Oh, can I? I'm sorry.
Yeah, you were allowed three shits, and that's two.
Three shits.
So.
Oh, I made a game called Technolust. I'm making some new VR stuff. Twitter's anti-cleric. I'm tired.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
All right, moving on.
Yeah, fuck Twitter.
Mark Tanner, founder of Field 3 from the UK. We just finished our
current. I can't have a line in here.
No, you're good. If you're coming in, sit down. All right. Of course, Justin has to cause kerfuffle. That's all right. See, this is the whole point. Mark, start over.
Mark Towner from Field 3.
Yeah.
Just finished my Kickstarter campaign. Another future failed VR hardware project. Not. Definitely not, I hope.
No, that was you.
Yeah.
I've only been telling you for the last 4 years.
I know.
And so, everything's Field 3.
Okay. Field 3, all right.
Hi, I'm Ryan, and I founded Inverse in Seattle. We were one of the only companies, I think, that's been in Oculus Launchpad and Vivex at the same time. We made a game called The Nest in 2016, a sniper game. Since then, we've toyed with just about every platform. And 2 weeks ago at a hackathon, we won Best Magic Leap Experience.
Yeah, very nice.
And we're continuing to work on new mobile platforms, Bifocus, and the Quest, and all that stuff.
Awesome.
My name is Nimiz Agami, and I love virtual reality.
That's enough. That's awesome. Perfect. Come on.
Hello, everyone. I'm Olivier JT. I'm back here for probably the sixth time here on this cast. I'm the creator of Synthesis Universe. I'm getting very close to release and so on. So things are going to move very fast, and I'm super happy to be back at Oculus Connect, where people are actually connecting, even if it's not necessarily inside Oculus Connect.
Very cool. Next.
I'm Justin Morovitz. I'm the founder of Zero Transform. Started a little game called Proton Pulse, and then did Vanguard V, Pulsar Arena. Yeah, that stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you can find the stuff on VR, Star.Star, anything VR. Yeah.
Cheers.
Does your companion want to say anything, or are you just here for the fun?
I'm just hanging out.
All right, just hanging out. All right, next.
Avinash from We Make VR, and we improve quality of life through immersive experiences. And we made the Guinness Book of World Records for creating the very first music video in VR.
And Amsterdam.
In Amsterdam.
And I'm from France.
Yes.
International.
Very cool.
Great job.
All right.
I love Amsterdam. John Dewar, met these guys 5 years ago. Have been trying to make it in VR ever since. Tight Lightning, Studio Transcendent, VR Digest, and now with it.
All right, so what we're doing here, just so you guys know, and that's everybody in the room right now, except who's in here? It's Steve Jobs! No, it's not Steve Jobs. Who is here?
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is your boy, Cymatic Bruce.
Woo-hoo!
Awesome!
In the house! Yes.
Yeah, the faces.
Right, Cal, you can leave now.
Oh, can I leave? Oh, okay, I see how this works.
Cold.
Yeah.
Cold.
So what we're doing here is we are at... Bruce, tell us where we're at right now.
You are at the SVVR Studios in Mountain View at the OC5 SVVR After Party, where demos are abound and the spirit is high. It's very cool.
It is very cool. And so what we have is we have so many enthusiastic people who want to be involved in this Quest cast. Which is what we're calling this one.
Of course.
Is that what we're going to do is we're going to rotate people out. So as soon as somebody pisses me off, I'm going to kick them out of the room and we're going to bring somebody new in. Hey, what did you just do?
Just pushing you.
Oh, okay. All right. So what we're going to do is real quick, we're going to talk about everybody in the room. Tell us what your number one experience was at Oculus Connect 5, just real quickly.
VR experience? Or
whatever really tickled your fancy at this event.
I only saw one game.
Well, okay, we'll get to
it. Doesn't have to be demos.
Wait, you turn a little around the corner. All right, go ahead, Sky. Go first. What did you want to do that?
The price, obviously.
The price of the Quest. What is
the
price
of
the
Quest?
The Quest
is $399.
$399.
That's basically $300.
It's basically $400.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so you were happy with the price.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Gerald, what about you? What did you
like? I thoroughly enjoyed Dead and Buried. That entire warehouse arena scale VR, oh, that is my jam right
that
there.
That is amazing, yes. All right, Jeff, what did you like?
Of course, the Oculus-sponsored conference.
Yeah.
Dead and Buried arena, by far.
Uh-huh.
Non-Oculus, there was a nice Indie Lounge set up that was absolutely awesome.
Ooh, the Indie Lounge. Yeah, we'll talk about that. Blair, are you alive and awake?
Yeah.
Okay, you want to say something?
I like VR.
You like VR? Yeah, okay.
I didn't really do anything at the conference. I think I walked into the center to register, stole some pronoun pins, then I walked in the second day and got a t-shirt and ate both times. And
free food?
Yeah, free food. But, like... We set up the Indie Lounge yesterday and SVVR tonight. That's why I come to these things, is to connect with my OG VR friends, see who's left, see who hasn't died, see who's doing B2B now, and dump a 40 out on the curb for them.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Everyone, to absent friends.
Oh,
cheers. Absent friends, yes.
And the ones that are still here.
And the ones that, that's right. So we've got a line of people now. Just so you all know, we've hired a bouncer for this podcast because this room is so small.
A 5'1" bouncer.
Well, we have a bouncer.
Cheers.
Whose name is The Enforcer. Did you know that? That's his name. The Enforcer, he's our bouncer. It's always new as I kick people out.
How much
do
you pay him?
Huh?
How much do you pay him?
Oh, he gets paid in Bitcoin, so barely anything.
His last payment was back in December. Right?
Yeah, right. Mark, what was your big thing at this
I really liked the queues. Everybody wanted to line up and...
That means line up.
For Americans, it's lines.
Yeah. Yeah. It means elevator.
Let it continue.
Guys, we got more people coming in. Okay. After we go around... Yeah, go ahead, stand here.
Do you want to know why?
Go ahead.
Because the greatest thing is you get a reason to stand with a bunch of strangers.
Oh my.
And
sure, come on in. You know what? Let's just keep bringing people in.
Nice. All right,
we're just going to have as many people as
possible.
This is absurd. So, Jesse, introduce yourself real quick.
Hey, I'm Jesse, CTO, one of the founders of VR Chat.
Yes, VR Chat. Who else is here?
I'm Ella Darling. I am a leader in in a certain niche of VR, and I'm starting a new live broadcast platform called Gonzo VR.
Yes.
All right, and who else do we have?
Chris Madsen, I'm representing Immersive VR Education.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah. Yes. Yeah. All right, we've got a couple more celebrities coming in here. Got Palmer Lucky just walked in the door. No, we're just kidding.
What?
Hey, if you two wouldn't mind introducing yourselves so that we know who just walked in the door.
All right. I'm Cass.
And I'm Jerry.
Hey.
Jerry VR.
Cass and Jerry VR represent. That's certainly awesome.
We're gonna
okay.
have a podcast
yeah.
in the podcast
yeah.
now.
This is such a big podcast now. This is ridiculous.
Wait,
we need to take a picture.
This is the ultimate Uber class. Yeah.
It is.
The
Uber.
Questcast.
The Questcast. Yes.
Another one.
All right. So Olivia's trying to take a picture with Arika Theta.
Yeah.
The keyboard here is try. Okay. All right. So, Mark, you Qs. Okay, lines.
The Qs are really great because you get to meet interesting people.
Yes.
Oh, shit, I queued up for nothing. I was very disappointed.
Well, you shouldn't have done that because nothing sucks.
You make many new friends. You make great friends in Qs.
Uh-huh. You do.
And random people. I met a great random person in Q today. Hopefully, it is a good thing. So, it's nice that the demos seem to be more popular and... there was a reason for people to stand around, chat, and get excited about something new.
Absolutely.
So you heard that? Who's making VR Line Simulator?
What? Yeah, Line Simulator. All right, coming soon from Field 3.
And Star Wars.
Yes, and Star Wars was awesome. Ryan, what do you got? What was your big thing? We're talking right now. We're talking about what was your big thing that really touched you at OC5.
The Quest obviously was a big deal.
Yeah.
Though my first criticism on level. Is that while it may be the perfect platform, content still matters. So it's going. If it doesn't ship with great content, then it's still going to be.
Should I pull the Palmer? Developers. Yes.
I'd say I tried a couple demos with it and was not as impressed as I wanted to be. Just because, not because of the hardware, but because of the content. So Oculus has done their job, and now the rest of us have to do our job. I would then say that I tried the Void. The Star Wars thing was super immersive and. It saved me a trip to Disney, but it was freaking amazing. So
cool.
That was my favorite thing to queue up for.
Awesome. Nima, what you got?
You know, every Kinect, I always say John Carmack's my favorite thing. Uh-huh. Really, my favorite thing is seeing my friends. I love you guys.
Yeah! Big room of people. Awesome. All right, Olivier, what's your big thing?
So the big thing was, you know, this year was tough for many of us as many faded into B2B and even disappear. So I was wondering who would come from, you know, the SVVR people to Oculus Connect. And there was a little boat, a little raft that was launched on the side of Oculus Connect called the Indie Dev Launch. And I was really happy that we had still that feeling of demoing in the hallway, demoing with people, open slots, and just seeing each other around our content and our what's left of us.
Awesome. Awesome. Justin?
Yeah, I have to follow up on that in the lounge because that was the heart and soul of the beginning of Oculus Connect.
Yeah.
That's where I made my first contract. I was showing off Vanguard V, and I, to these two guys, I didn't know who they were, and I like, you want to see something really cool? I pulled out my old-ass iPhone, and it was running the same experience, so like, how'd you do that? They were from Google. They were looking for any content for Cardboard, and that was where I got my... And right next to me was the Tilt Brush people, right there with Chet. Chet's going, what the fuck is this? Sorry, I'm not sure what's...
No, that's okay. We're allowed to Fox. That was the second
one. I went to that indie thing, and I'm like, this is exactly what's missing from OC now.
Yep.
And it was really important to me early on.
Awesome. All right, Bruce...
Yes, I gotta hop on this too. It's an indie dev launch for me, the people. It's been really about connecting with the people. I can catch the talks on YouTube later. The announcements are posted everywhere on Twitter. So it's really about who can I talk to, who can I catch up with and interface with. Indie dev launch and also the feeling here is really great. And really goes back to that spirit of creation and ideas and sharing that I really liked about what is the heart of this VR movement that we're all part of and enraptured by. So.
Awesome. Evanash.
So, you know, we've been exploring this whole new immersive experiences domain, and it's not just gaming, and it's not just 360 videos. We're really finding this new language. And this time around, we're seeing that through SIGSDAW, we're getting to a new form of storytelling. And for the first time, I've been speaking to people that are finally getting it. And that made me really happy.
Awesome, awesome. John, what you got, man?
Yeah, a lot of new faces this year. Felt bigger, more security.
But, yeah.
You know, it's been a really tough year for different reasons. Some of us, like Jesse, you know, dealt with like a giant spike, and some of us, our companies kind of failed. But, you know, seeing you guys, I think, it's really heartening every year, and we couldn't do without it. So.
Awesome. Ella, what touched you at this show?
So I felt a little out of sorts and a little out of place, and I felt like I was maybe out of touch or out of my realm until I got to the Indie Dev Lounge, where it was all the really awesome OG people showing their awesome new indie stuff that was, you know, not the super polished Oculus-approved stuff. Who gives a shit? We're going to see it anyway. But the stuff that people are really putting their heart and soul into, and that was really special to me. And outside of that, as someone who's finally a new developer for something that is actually potentially going to fit into the Oculus platform now, after 4.5 years of making stuff that was never going to be, ever going to be, ever in their marketplace, I've actually found that, from my perspective, Oculus has been offering some really good feedback to me as a developer. I had office hours, I had, you know, I'm the start program. They really kind of stepped up, at least from my perspective, the support for new creators. And for me, that was really rewarding because I wasn't sure if, you know, I'm old school VR, but I'm new to the stuff that is marketplace friendly.
Yep.
So it's been really cool finding those resources as someone who's maybe like, I feel like I'm going back to college as a well advanced adult.
Awesome, awesome. Jesse.
Well, I love you all, but I just really like meeting strangers. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
I think that Oculus kind of had an interesting show, and it was interesting to see what they were showing this year. Like, the Rift was here, but it wasn't like a major thing. They were definitely concentrating on their new hardware. And I think that kind of their putting the dead and buried Quest experience right beside the Void, you know, location-based, well-established experience was really interesting. And I got to try both those experiences this show, and they were both awesome. And I just think it's a really interesting contrast that they're trying to highlight of, like, this one was $2,400 in VR equipment, and it was arena scale, and it was a great location-based experience. The other one was also a really great location-based experience based on technology that cost a lot more money back in the day.
Yeah.
And I think that they're trying to kind of, like, go into that market, and although it's not really accessible to mere mortals such as us who have, like, houses instead of arenas to play in, or townhouses or condos or apartments,
or just live on the street,
that it was still really fun. I had, like, I really enjoyed both of those experiences, and it's like it's something that wasn't really highlighted at previous Oculus Kinects or VR places because there wasn't space for it or technology for it, and I really enjoyed, like, seeing that as something they're working on, even if it's something that I can't do at home and I have to go experience somewhere else.
All right. Cass?
Well, for us, it's also, of course, Dead and Buried and Quest, big announcements, very excited for it, but also being able to come here for the first time ever. And OC5 is our first OC, actually. Being able to network with really passionate people about VR is just something that is really cool to be able to do. And seeing that Facebook is also still pumping a lot of money into the industry just makes us really, really happy to see that it will grow even further.
Awesome. Chair?
Yeah, I have to agree with that. It just shows that VR is still growing and that it will go somewhere. And
absolutely.
And it's good that we're putting time into it. And
it's our goal as well. So we're really happy to see it.
Awesome. All right. Did you go?
Yeah.
So for me, Kaya,
who are you?
Chris. It's Chris Madsen, a.k.a. Deep Rifter.
Deep Rifter.
So, I mean, a lot of us have been in this game for a long time. Uh-huh. And for me, it was that milestone of finally getting that 6 degree of freedom headset that we always knew was coming. And now it's here. And that's amazing. It's going to open up all kinds of opportunities. Yeah. I work a lot in enterprise right now, and people have been waiting for a cheaper headset that can allow that 6 degree of freedom. It's going to help that market a lot, the health sector, the education sector, the training sector. So I'm excited about that.
Awesome. All right. We have a very full room here. So raise your hand if you want to leave before I start kicking people out.
Well, not to right?
If you want to stay, stay. All right, well, we'll just stay until the room gets to about 300 degrees. All right, I'll leave. All right, so Cass and Cherry, everyone, go check out their YouTube page and watch the
video. Thank you for saying hi.
Excellent. Thank you. All right. We've got a little bit more room now. I believe that we might have somebody else come in, but we'll give up some time. All right.
You need a better bouncer, man.
I know, right? What kind of bouncer is this? There's like 30 people in this room, and it's like, what, 10 by 10?
You should switch to Etherom. I think that might help his payments a little.
Oh, you think so? Yeah, there you go.
Who were those two? All I remember is their names and then VR.
Cast and Cherry, they do YouTube.
I would love it if the cast was like mostly developer and people creating content.
Is that how we want to do it? Should we just start over and kick out half the people in the room?
I take offense to that.
I know, right? What the heck? We have all
contributed
in one way, shape, or form. Mentioned the Indie Dev Lounge. It's been mentioned multiple times, so I guess we should talk about this. So, in the very beginning, Oculus had a place for indie devs to show off their stuff unofficially in the hallways.
That was not on purpose. No. That was the devs taking over the hallway.
Okay, so the devs took over the hallways.
Originally, they had a room where they had like four TVs for stuff where you could. The idea was to meet Oculus rep dev and show your content. But it was for the whole Connect. Four spots. And people spread around the hallway.
Yeah.
And at that time, people had also extra hardware, laptop, PC, build-ups, things just to demo stuff. So we are demoing in the hallway completely savagely. And the people from the hotel are like, this is not allowed, you cannot do this. And we overcome everybody by demoing. And it was really that feeling of...
They made a comment during the keynote about there's a very special group of people. And these are folks who have been to every Oculus Connect from the very first one. Now, raise your hand if you belong in that group. One, two, three, four, five... Six and a half? That doesn't count.
Right. I've gotten invited to everyone, but I had to miss the first one.
Gotta be there. They said there's what, 50-ish? 50-ish people.
I've heard that is like likely a bunk number because the metrics that they use to measure that are suspect.
Ah, okay. Oh. So it might be more. It might be less.
Do you think more or less based on your source?
I think they went by more.
I think it's a terrible metric to even go by. It should be how many people are here that were at Oculus Connect 1.
Right.
Because, like, I skipped 4, and rightfully so.
Yeah, you didn't miss
like, so...
You don't like Connect 4? What's wrong with you?
Show a picture of a goat.
Yeah.
Well, then it's more about who started developing content back in 2013.
Yes, I think it's
regardless of...
This is one of my favorite types of business contests.
It really is. I'm a bigger nerd than you, man. But we had an Indie Dev Lounge thanks to a very generous...
Benefactor.
Yeah, benefactor. Good word for it. And, some OG people put it together and made it happen. And it gave those of us who remember each and every single one and the way that the indie devs really push this industry more than they are... giving credit for.
And still are behind the scenes.
Exactly. Yeah. But this Indie Dev Lounge gave us the opportunity to have that feeling like we had, that passion, that raw... It wasn't sponsored by a corporate thing, entity where you had to follow
attached.
Rules and stuff. Right.
Exactly. 11 computer, you bring your stuff.
Yep.
You demo, you take off whatever you want.
For me...
Food, drink, music, friends, or just us.
For me, it was a big deal.
Yes.
It was a big deal. I mean,
anybody
have any comments about
that? You actualize your imagination in VR.
Yes.
Kudos
to you guys who helped make that happen. Wonderful stuff.
Thanks. Anybody else who just has us thankful...
in the palm of your hand, we're really grateful.
Yes, absolutely.
The indie dev launch could be the reason why we go to Oculus 6.
Yes, 6.
So something I've noticed in the past few expos I've gone to, whether it's E3 or VRLA or anything, is that ever since the fall of a certain entity, we don't really have big after parties where we can go and the OG people who have been doing this forever, who already know each other, this community we've established. Previously, we had these experiences we could go to and connect with each other. In the past year and a half or so, when I go to, let's just say, E3, the after parties are all just, they're spread out. I never know where to find my VR people. There's a few VR events, but they're full of fucking, I don't know, casuals.
I was about to say casual.
This was what I missed. This experience is what I have been missing from VR events or tech events in general, where our community who has put in a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of blood and sweat and tears and everything else.
Instead of making the effort to explore uncharted territory, instead of just jumping on the bandwagon and say, oh, I'm only going to make some cash and release a VR title.
And who have supported each other along the way, which is, I think, incredibly.
And we also know that there's no cash to be made, and we're still here.
Fact. Where's the money?
Where's the money?
Is this the point where we mentioned that we're actually at an SVVR event?
Yes, right? Yeah.
The person not in here is Carl.
Yeah.
Right. Well, we'll get Carl.
Right. All right, you know what? Let's start rotating some people out. Raise your hand if you volunteer to leave. Before I start kicking people out.
Okay.
Justin,
I might swap back in. Later.
Justin's leaving.
No,
Blair's leaving. No, you're not.
I was pointing at Carl.
Oh, I thought you were leaving. Okay, so Blair's walking out. Don't say anything mean about him. That's fine. This is all part of the process.
Just talking about Shanti. It's all right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. At the event SVVR that you organized today.
Yeah.
So just you at the window is the perfect opportunity
for
you.
I must have had...
Carl, why don't you come step over here?
Recording somewhere?
Introduce yourself first.
All right, I'm Carl Kreds, founder of SVVR.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, VR nerd, I guess.
Yes. So just to catch you up here, we're talking about the passion of the indie devs. We have the Indie Dev Lounge. You know, what is your feeling about the indie devs' role in this industry right now?
Super important, because all the AAA games and all that stuff takes like decades and never happens half the time, and they miss the mark, and too many designed by committee, and indie is a passion, that's where it's at, that's where it's always been at for VR. It's like trying new things that are risky. You can't do that when you're a big designing by committee. And yeah, it's super important as always, underappreciated as always. But the meetup communities are kind of where it's at for that, and it always have been. And it's kind of where we all experiment and try new things and show each other things and make each other sing.
You know, it's really cool that SVVR was able to put this on for us as kind of an after party, the right type of after party, where we can all get together and be real passionate and geek out. So we appreciate that. Thank
awesome.
You, Carl.
Yeah, thank you all for coming.
Carl.
Congrats on this. Is such a... Ubercast?
Yes.
Love it.
Keep it going. We're calling this the Questcast.
Questcast.
Yes.
All right, awesome.
All right.
Love it.
Thank
you. Thanks so much.
Before Carl goes, I want to point out that SVVR was the Oculus Connect before Oculus Connect.
Yes. That's right.
Hey, so how many of the 50 were at SVVR 1?
Yeah, raise your hand if you were at SVVR 1. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yes.
My first day out of Sony was because of him.
Oh. All right, is that a good thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
John
and I had booths right beside each other. He had the first DK2 I ever saw.
That was the
called
HD
DK2.
Prototype.
HD prototype.
That's right.
Okay.
HD prototype, which there's one represented here. I saw that. It's in the museum. Jesse, you were doing some ski thing.
Actually, that was a pretty good game.
They made me sick. I'm sorry. I'll tell you now.
No one is surprised. I was completely immune to motion sickness. It was the biggest curse ever.
Oh, no.
As a VR developer. I made something that made everyone sick.
Oh, man.
I'm going to continue my bad habit and my mission of talking people out of really nice, well-paying jobs to join the poor people in VR that take the money because it's no market, but we have fun, right?
Keep it going. Yes.
I will say, I think SVVR, and I could be wrong, but I believe SVVR was the first ever conference that offered me an opportunity to speak about the work that I was doing
awesome.
And gave me a place to talk about it and show people that I can make porn so fucking boring that you have no idea. But I'm pretty sure you guys were the first to ever give me a platform. And after that, I ended up speaking.
I think we were, because we looked around to see are other people, like, because we wanted to do, because I've always thought it's an important part of this and it pushes the boundaries of tech and you know, whatever people like, I'm into it. But we were very scared. And all our sponsors going to back out. It's like, and we're like, oh, fuck it, we're just going to do it. And nobody really freaked out. Nobody cared. I, you know, a couple people complained.
Thank you for taking the chance on this.
Awesome. Thank you for doing it. You're awesome. Yes. We'll continue to have you speak as long as we're doing conferences. The next SPBR is now planned for tentatively 2020. So we're taking
it. Yeah!
It's a little bit of a break so we can develop all the reality portal tech so that we can actually let people attend on the social platforms of their choice, wherever they like to be.
So I don't have to travel here to be here.
Yeah.
I still will.
And you won't have to sign up for like one platform. It'll be like whatever you like. If you're into VR chat, if you're into Ultimate, if you're Dive Fidelity, Sensor, whatever.
Very cool.
Web VR, all of it.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
So
cool.
Those will definitely all be in business by 2020.
Of course they will.
Wow.
Always the same. Wow.
That's how you really feel.
All right. Let's rotate a few more people out. Let's get this room a little. And Carl's going to leave us. All right. Thanks, Carl.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
Thank you, Carl.
All right. All right. Let's nobody else? I'm going to start pointing randomly at people. I'm going to start pointing randomly at people to kick people out. Sky, you're out. Get out of here. Sorry, man.
No.
Thank you, though. Sky Knight, everyone. All right. Sky Knight. All right. Read his books. They're good. I vouch for him personally.
100%.
All right. Jeff, get the hell out of here. All right. Okay. I think this is good. Ella, would you mind moving over this way so I don't have to lean against the wall anymore?
Me, my pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Grab this for me.
Starting to feel like a pervert with my leg up.
You can put my laptop and sit on the chair.
No. If I sit, I'll never stand back up.
This is my demo room, officially.
So, that's right. We are in Olivier's demo room, and I decided that this would be the right place to do a podcast with multiple people. It's a terrible idea. Hey, Enforcer. Enforcer, we need somebody new. A new person, yes, bring them in. Okay. See, this is the beauty of these Ubercasts. What we do is we're trying to get as many people in as we can, and it's so unorganized. We hope that the audience feels like they're just sitting in the corner of the room listening to a conversation with all the cool people that they want to talk to.
That are left.
Yes, that are left, right. Can anybody think of somebody we've lost?
Bruce.
Well, I mean, Bruce is here.
He's here for like 2 minutes. We gotta get him in.
I mean, you know, he's got his stuff. What do we got?
I can think of two very fair brothers who I got to know through you.
Yes.
And there, I haven't seen them in a very long
Bob
time.
And Kenny Nichols.
Bob and Kenny.
Bob,
Chris
Kenny.
Miranda.
Yeah.
Chris Miranda.
Well, you know, somebody told me he was here, but I haven't seen him, so I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't seen him either.
Yeah.
He was not that connected.
Well, what, Mark?
Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson.
Okay.
The performer?
Oh, yeah.
He's out.
All right.
I should have said Bowie.
Okay, or Bowie.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Where are the Nichols brothers?
Well, the Nichols brothers, I don't believe were able to make it. But they are still actively involved in VR, right? I mean, as far as I know, they're still actively involved. So it's just a matter of, you know, not everybody can make it to everything. I think Bob lives, you know, Midwest, East Coast sort of thing. And Kenny, actually, I think Kenny lives San Francisco.
Gunter,
we love you. Big round of applause for Gunter.
Malia
was busy. She couldn't make it. But yeah, you know, these are folks that we all do still reminisce about how fun it was to have them around. And, here comes somebody new. Enforcer, bring him in. Bring him in. All right. All right. We got new folks in the room. Shoutouts. All right. John, come over here in the middle
of
the
room. Are we videoing?
No, we're just doing audio. Okay, just audio right here.
Good.
So if you want to talk like you're screaming to
people. I have a face for audio.
Okay. Face for radio, huh? So John, introduce yourself. Why do we care who you are?
I don't know. I'm John Oakes. I'm one of the 50 of...
Yes.
So the 50 people who've been into all Oculus Connects plus Oculus Connect Zero, which is SVVR.
Yes. That's what we should call it. Yeah. OC Zero.
Well, I think Carl likes calling it SVVR because it was his project.
Oh,
but yeah, there was a select group of us that were there. I was almost at the sushi dinner.
The VR Last Supper.
Yeah.
The first supper.
The first.
So why should you care? I don't know. I helped organize SVR for a little bit and doing independent VR stuff and consulting.
Cool. All right. So we talked about a couple things so far. We've talked about what was our most enjoyable thing at the show. What was your most enjoyable thing at OC5?
The most enjoyable thing is you guys, honestly. I mean, I think everybody says that, but like, I barely made it to a session because I'd be walking to a session I wanted to see and run into 10 people I know.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is great because it's VR is kind of a rough industry to survive in.
A little bit.
For some
of us. A lot
of
people laughing right now.
And, you know, not everybody's made the journey. It's kind of like, you know, a lot of us have died of dysentery on the way. And so it's great to see when I see people I haven't seen for a while. It's like, oh, you're still doing it. You're still making stuff. You're still making it. It's awesome. In terms of like the thing I saw that got me excited was the Dead and Buried Arena thing.
Yeah.
I think although that was a very simple implementation, it opened so many really interesting ideas.
Mm-hmm.
You tried it?
Yeah.
I didn't get to try it, but I watched it for quite a while.
Raise your hand if you did get to try the Dead and Buried Arena.
Did not?
Oh, no, you did.
Oh, I did.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, so there's like only 5 people.
I won. I killed a lot of people.
Yeah,
I killed a whole bunch of people.
So I get in line, and I'm standing there waiting to do it, and lo and behold, Nick Pittum and John Hibbins, SciTech Games, along with a couple other guys, they're getting ready, but they needed a 6th person. And so I joined. We broke off into teams, and I said, let's make a wager. Whichever team wins tweets that the other people are the best Dead and Buried players they've ever seen. And they graciously accepted, and then their team graciously lost. So if you go check Twitter, my team is the best Dead and Buried players they've ever seen. So it was fun. Thank you. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that experience. Who else said that they had done it?
Yep.
Yeah. Jesse, what did you think?
I mean, nobody has one-to-one replications of cover that is foam rubber in their home that they can lean on and hide behind or a space that size.
So I'm the only one?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What you do with that foam rubber cover...
I never want to know.
It's up to you. But besides that, it was awesome. Like, it was inaccessibly awesome. I had a great time.
Cool. Gerald, you did it?
I did.
What'd you think?
So the thing that I kept having to realize is the price point. I mean, it's definitely expensive to buy all of those quests and all the cardboard boxes they're using, but compared to the Void, I'm sure that it is significantly cheaper. And I can definitely see an arcade situation popping up with those. I can see people setting up arcades and saying, hey, bring your quest in and come play these games here. I think that's a crazy cool idea. But I also like the idea of bringing out a basketball court and going to somewhere with a bunch of friends and playing something similar like that.
Yeah.
You'll see modular room scale or arena scale experiences, just people bringing in their headsets, creating a game on the spot, and hey, let's have fun.
Yeah.
It's like literally the cost of a location-based thing, besides the real estate, of course, and whatever foam rubber models you want to make, is like $5,000 now. You can fit a whole team of people with Quest headsets. And set up a business around that. I think that's the point they were trying to make, and I think they made it pretty well.
Yeah, awesome. I was thinking next year I want to go rent out a storefront in a mall with a vacancy and make a haunted house in VR.
Oh,
doing that kind of thing. Would that be
awesome? Wow. I would love that. We have a new member. The Enforcer has let yet another person in. Introduce yourself. Tell us why we care who you are.
Hi, this is Kai from Hawaii, and I made VR Archive, which is... photo sharing service for VR lovers and creators.
Are you one of the 50?
Not technically, but I'll probably be 52 or 53. If
that's okay. All right. What was the thing that made you, really happy about OC5?
Probably the community. It always is with OCs. You don't really get the opportunity to see all these awesome people, all the creators in person, and it's as much as VR is awesome at bringing people together, there is still sort of some sort of magic with the real world. So that's really nice. I like that.
I want to make it clear to the audience that we didn't talk about this beforehand, and that everybody who has come in and talked about what they loved about OC5, there seems to be this general consensus that the community is what's the most important. And we've had conversations, I know John and I have had conversations with certain companies about how important the community is and how they handle it and how they tackle it. John, since last year when we had that conversation with those folks, has anything changed?
It's gotten worse.
It's gotten worse. Oh, wow. Okay, so, again, I don't want anybody to burn any bridges, but just, does anybody have any comments about how they feel the community is handled in the VR situation?
Oh, yeah.
Anything? Does anybody want to say anything?
Well, in the early days, you could walk up to anyone at OC, have a friendly conversation, and just geek out about this cool thing that we're doing. Now, there are so many people that are not open to conversation, are just looking at the business side of things, do we make a quick buck, and where's the passion? I mean, you have to look and talk to more people to find those that are genuinely passionate about exploring this new world, and the entire atmosphere has changed, in my opinion, over the last, I'd say, the last year and a half, 2 years.
Let me riff on that for a second.
Rift.
Stop it, Kyle. I 100% agree. I think that, unfortunately, every single year, there are more and more people in VR who don't like VR. And, I'm not going to ask every single person to love it. These people don't even like it. And it really, gets to me. It hurts me. It feels like our community is, I don't know. Maybe I'm just taking it way too seriously. But this is what I love, and it bugs me.
If you don't get the people that love what we do, you don't get experiences and content that will get others to discover why we are so passionate.
I think as you're describing a symptom of the same idea that I think Kyle and I have, which is the companies and their priorities versus the community and the community's priorities. The companies, we saw it. Facebook wants 1 billion people in VR that they own in VR. And I think that's a real problem. That's a huge problem. It was a big bet, and it's kind of exciting in one way, but the way they're going to get there in their minds is not by indie developers. The way they're going to get there in their minds is by huge brands and huge media and huge
mass consumption,
mass social, right, kind of things. And that is going to attract the kind of people you guys are running to who are like, I don't really care about VR, I just want to make money. But the community, in my opinion, the VR community are the people who create things, who build from the ground up. And honestly, I feel like this is my beef, if I have one, with the major companies, is they're trying to go in, there's an old saying of people who want to, first you have to plant the seeds, you grow the wheat, harvest the grain, and grind the flour, and bake the bread. And everyone wants to help eat the bread. These big companies want to eat the bread, but they don't want to plant the seed. And I think they got to plant the seed because really, I think the way to get to 1 billion is not with these big moves, because these media companies, if they try to do it, they're going to fall on their face because there's not a market there to support them. It's going to be guys like you guys all in this room making their own little app that maybe has an audience of 5,000 people or 10,000 people or maybe 100,000 people that are going to build that groundswell of interest. And they just can't get their heads around it. And I have some sympathy for them because they're like, I got to get to 1 billion. I don't have time to talk to you, indie guy.
Anymore. I don't have time anymore.
I think part of it, too, though, is I think there's kind of a weird view on where VR is, where it should be, and where we want it to be, right? I think a lot of comparisons with VR go back to smartphones. When we look at smartphones, the first iPhone came out, and I think within, 3 years of it coming out, you had Angry Birds, which was a huge hit. I mean, it got tons and tons of people talking about these awesome potentials for smartphones. And I think a lot of people look at Oculus and the Rift and the Vive and say, hey, VR is coming up on its 3-year mark. Where's the Angry Birds? And I think it's an inaccurate comparison. I think that the Vive and the Rift shouldn't be compared to the first iPhone. I think a better comparison is the Razer phone. Right? The phone that got everybody thinking, smartphones are useful, cell phones can be cool.
But it wasn't the one that changed everything. I think the real one that's going to be a big game changer is going to be Quest. I think we're going to see another attitude shift where it's going to go from indie to this business focus. And I think once we get past this tough mark of people who are trying to cash in quick, we're going to suddenly start seeing some really, really big innovations on the software side with things like Quest.
Well, it's not just about the Quest, because I think the Quest is a great form factor, great price. I think to get to that billion, or to get to mass adoption, are the not-so-sexy applications. The simple things that make your life on a daily basis easier.
But, like, what has done that for smartphones, right? I think a lot of people look for a killer app, and I don't think a killer app is a real thing. I can't think of a single app that would make me go and buy a smartphone. But I can think a combination.
Email.
Yeah.
That's what
communication.
Social media.
But here's the thing. Yeah. Those are combinations of apps, right? If I were to say back in, let's say, 2008, 2009, hey, I'm going to give you a device, and all it can do is email, and it's going to cost you $600, $800. Would you buy that? No. But if I told you it can do email, it can do web browsing, it can do calls, it can do text, it can do video playback, that's where this cohesiveness comes. And I think VR is get this tipping point where we're suddenly starting to see all of these useful apps that are coming in, right? There's been tons of times that I found myself thinking, you know, most of my family, 90% of my family, 99% of my family is in Virginia, right? So when I want to do stuff with them, I can't. It's not easy. And so there's a lot of instances where I'm like, oh man, if I had a VR headset right now, we could be sitting down watching this Netflix movie together. Or hey, we could be sitting here and I could draw a 3D graph of something. And
or we could be playing Angry Birds together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there's I don't think that's necessarily a combination of apps. If you look at elderly people, the reason why they buy a tablet is because they can FaceTime with their grandchildren.
They buy it so they can read the words of the screen.
They are bigger.
Yep. Yeah. There's multiple apps. Yeah. And that's the thing, is I think the big thing, and this is why I say Quest is a combination of the apps that are on Rift that are amazing, right? The ability to do Facebook Spaces and things like that. Combined with a $400 price, I think that price and that hardware combination is going to dominate in a lot of crazy ways.
I love the price. I love the form factor. I think they will be improvements for the industry, but I don't think it overcomes the main threat that we have, which is that you can't show somebody what VR is on a television ad. That it still is something that if you don't put it on your face, you don't understand it. Like, that is something that cardboard has probably done the best job of, but only partially by giving a partial version of VR.
So that will always be the problem with VR, is you need to wear it to check it out.
Same with AR.
I have a question.
It's going to be a slow growth, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I have a question. So who here works doing VR for a company that does more than just VR?
Just more than just VR.
So it does now or has. So I've worked for a company.
AR.
Whatever. So for example, I've worked for a company. I was the lead on the VR for the company, but the greater goal of the company was something different. Does that apply to anyone else here?
No. Okay.
So I think when you're talking about the people who are coming in who don't care about VR, who don't like VR, who they're just kind of shitty about it, they're here because it's business, not because it's a passion. I think a lot of that is because a lot of companies are dipping their toes into VR and they're sending their representatives to be like, okay, we're going to do VR, what are we going to do? And these are people who don't give a shit about VR in the first place. It's not their passion, they don't get it, they don't want to get it, and just like anybody who's in a job that, like, you know, I don't want to go do this thing, I don't want to go to this conference, I don't want to whatever, they come already with a shitty attitude, already thinking VR is hype, it sucks, I don't like it, I don't want to be here. And I think that the people, the personalities like that are, and I know this is hyperbole, but I'm going to embrace it, are a cancer on our community, because they're coming in deciding ahead of time that VR is bullshit. They're representatives of the company that's sending them who are interested in exploring this space, and they're the voice of that company who are coming back and saying, nope, it's dumb, fuck it, I don't like it, because they don't get it, it's not their passion, they haven't spent time, they haven't spent effort, they haven't done the work. And this is the problem when companies send someone to an event like this instead of hiring from the thriving existing community. You get people who go back to companies and say, oh no, it sucks, or they go back with the most half-assed representation of what VR is or should be to that company. And I think that it ends up creating bad content, and that bad content
yields bad results, and those companies think, oh no, VR sucks, and then their communities think VR sucks. And furthermore, at the events themselves, those people are here thinking, oh, this sucks, that product sucks, this is dumb, and they talk to people around them, and maybe they're talking to people who this is their first experience ever, this is their first event, and they're saying, oh no, VR is bullshit, and someone who's like, oh, I think I want to explore VR, I think this is something I want to do, and they hear from someone who seems like they know what they're talking about, saying, no, this sucks, this is bullshit, then it starts to poison the new minds, the new people who might be the next generation, are starting to hear from the people who these big companies are sending, not because they're relevant or passionate, but because they're just, you know, a staff member they can provide.
I'm optimistic that those people are a delay or a speed bump and not like an actual...
Am I kicking you out, John?
Hold on a second. Yeah, I'm going to kick myself out, John. Because you guys wanted to talk about the relationship between smartphones and VR. Yeah. I'm going to go pull in Nicole.
Okay.
She published the first iOS game.
Why don't you go get... tell the enforcer to go get Nathie in here.
I agree with that. I just want to finish my point.
Yeah, I'm sorry. There's a lot of people who do fit that exact bill and that don't understand and are willfully not understanding. And that there is a fundamental, though, that they're not getting. It is immersive. Like, my background is in gaming, and so I'm going to speak to that, which is that there are a number of people who say, I will not play a game on a monitor anymore. And there's only a few of us who've kind of, and I'm one of those people, I'm playing Fallout 4 in VR right now, and even though a lot of people think that that's not, doesn't matter. The point is that there is a fundamental thing about VR that is awesome, that we all get, and that people can deny, and that can slow the adoption, but I don't believe it can stop it, because I believe that what we have is somewhat fundamentally good.
I'm not talking about adoption. Adoption is going to ramp up, I think, regardless. It might slow, but it will get there. My concern isn't the adoption, it's the passion of new potential creators. It's someone who's new, who maybe they spent like half their rent to be here, or maybe they were lucky enough to get a grant to be here, and they come and we're so overwhelmed. There's so many people when you get here. I've been in this industry 4.5 years. When I walked out the first night, I mean Tuesday night, when it was still very limited, I felt overwhelmed because I don't know who any of these fucking people are, except for my OG friends who, thank God, were there to welcome me.
To be contrarian, we are a clique in this room right now.
Yes, we are.
No, we are very much.
We are being clicky.
Yes.
We're, you know, deciding who comes in our door.
Yeah.
And, you know, as this industry grows and Oculus Connect is a microcosm of the industry, one company, of course, but, you know, it's the OG people, and then there's a bunch of new blood. And I don't want to just generically... crap on the new blood.
This is a really good conversation.
Yes.
This is a really good conversation, and we can do a whole podcast on just this conversation. I think that's awesome. Let's try to stay focused on the key task, which is let's talk about OC5. This is a really important thing, and I think we could go for hours.
Can I start a new conversation?
No. Hold on, real quick.
I need to,
I appreciate what everybody is saying, and I think everybody has a varying opinion on whether or not it's a good thing that there are new people, or there are old people, or there are people who don't really care. But we have a new person in the room. The enforcer has left a new person in the room. Please introduce yourself and tell us what you think of OC5.
Awesome. Well, Nicole Lazaro, the head of Zine Design, Zio Play, developer, VR developer, working on a game called The White Rabbit. Mm-hmm. And this has been my. I've been here at 2, 3, 4, and 5 now, so I didn't quite make the first one. Interesting. Really interesting. I think that obviously the Quest is going to be a real game changer, at least for some of our clients. I have a corporate consulting practice for games. I designed the first iPhone game, and I have I've worked on Myst and The Sims, a number of Star Wars titles. So in all the games I have corporate clients like IBM. But I think it was a really interesting OC Connect. Some of the messaging was it felt a little bit of like kind of catch up to get us, you know, to catching up to a lot of trends. opposed to leading a little bit. The Quest is a great, it's a really great step forward, and it looks, from what I played, it definitely felt better. We were a launch partner with the HTC Vive with Focus, so a year ago-ish, November, right? So I think that's, I think the performance on the Quest should be, you know, definitely, I definitely was very impressed with what it was doing, and certainly on the hands is really awesome. But I really thought that there was some interesting stuff. We had a lot of, you know, diversity inclusion in the keynotes with the speakers, which was great to see, and a lot of diversity in the attendees, which they really were drawing. We love that. The content, though, could have been a little bit broader.
Oh, you think? What was it missing?
Yeah. So, yeah, we had a, so in the, we had this great keynote, and so I felt the presenters were really diverse, which was great. It was amazing. And then, but then it was a series of, you know, like, okay, here we're going to create this battle, and here's this great, you know, little war game, and here's this epic battle, and oh, great, you can drive this car really fast, and then we're going to go to space, and we're going to have this battle.
Tennis.
And, yeah, but tennis didn't get, like, much yet. Just,
no
just,
one's mentioned tennis yet from
yeah.
the Quest.
No one's mentioned the other Quest demos.
I totally love
anyway.
The tennis. Yeah.
And so, and then I think that there are a number of creators. Actually, I talked to a couple, and I can't remember the names of their titles. Otherwise, I'd love to share. I just can't remember. But there are a number of creators in that 50, that group of 50 that are going to launch on Quest that got no love, that aren't doing the like things. And I think that's really doing the whole industry, the VR industry, a disservice, because if we only have these limited playstyles, you know, the five hardcore games that the game industry does really well, if we only launch with that, you know, you're not going to get a really mass market audience. Now, I've worked, you know, every 10 years, you know, we change in the computer business, right? You know, so, but with, like, CD-ROMs going back to that day, we had a game called Myst that really broke out, very broad audience, low-cost color PCs. We had a game called The Sims with, you know, online downloads. We had a game called Diner Dash with, you know, social games. We had Farmville and, you know, just an Angry Birds, you know, drop mobile. So I think that, you know, in terms of VR, there's going to be, I mean, it's definitely going to be a hardcore, you know, game that really gets things out. But I think that there's also all these other play styles. And when we're complaining, when we're kvetching about, we're like less than 1% of the 1 billion, it's like you can't just get there on the backs of the hardcore gamers only. Especially because the hardware just doesn't support fast action, you know, precise tracking. And again, like I work on games like Star Wars shooting games, right? So, I mean, I know, I did the first rumors on this first Star Wars movie, for example. So, you know, trying to get a shooter on a you know, four axis control.
I'm going to say that I was actually having a conversation with someone earlier, another game dev earlier,
yeah.
And we were talking about what we really want from the demos and what we feel like is a little bit too present. And I think that you're absolutely right that the shooter games are very present. And I will say, I have played your game, and I would personally love to see more games available for demo and in general that focus more on sort of like puzzle solving and maybe even collaborative puzzle solving, but something that you have to sort of think and experience through rather than just shooting things. I love what you do, and I would love to see more of the style of game that you do in the current demo space and in the current, in the next gen.
This is a puzzle exploration game like this. It's like a broad range. It doesn't, it's just more than just one type. It's like going to Toys R Us.
All right, before we get any further, Avanash, get out of here. You're kicked out. Goodbye.
I wanted to add to this five.
Yes.
Like this idea of five indie demos or whatever. I was part of the five in Oculus Connect 2. And I went through the rigorous process on what they chose and for the five and what the requirements they had. It was brutal. They flew out a number of us to check out the touch controllers or the Half Moon. I forgot what they call it. My controller over there that I got.
That
it's right over
the
there.
Museum. Okay.
But yeah, there was like 12 of us, and we all pitched things. They all said, "You need to have like a 4-minute demo tops. We want this. They didn't know exactly how to treat us yet.
Yeah.
They were trying to wow us with hardware. I ended up in the friggin' hospital the week before Oculus Connect.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
And
yeah.
And so I'm on stage presenting stuff and like barely because of the meds. Anyway, what I'm saying is that somebody in Oculus is kind of enforcing this generic what do they expect other people to want sort of deal when it comes to these five demos. And that's been the case with 3 and 4 and this year as well.
So the struggle is that you can't ask one person what everybody wants to play. You have to ask everybody what everybody wants to play.
Bro, I've got
to
stop you right there. Fantasy VR MMO, that's what everyone wants.
You know what I want?
It's wrong. It's already VR, here. Okay, there's a fantasy MMO. It's called Orbis VR. I literally played it like it was a part-time job. I spent 20 hours a week playing Orbis VR for over a month.
It doesn't take too much imagination to like go in and, okay, we are at Netflix, or we are like the corner video store. You remember having those. And you want to have like a comedy section. You want to have a horror section. You want to have a sci-fi section.
Yes.
You know, just do the Dewey decimal number thingy in the library, right? And you gotta have these categories and fill them out.
You know what's interesting though about that is when you go to Blockbuster Video, which is a thing, you youngsters.
It's not.
That's right.
The last one.
You walk in and yes, there is every genre, but there's always those big booming blockbusters that they put the big posters in the front door with dragons and dinosaurs and big dudes with big guns.
I have something on that. We're talking about the 5 demos that made it into Oculus Kinect, but we're not talking about the 50. We're talking about a different 50, which is people who have been to all the Oculus, all the Kinects. But the 50 titles that they have announced for launch is a hard number that appears to be enforced sort of by fiat. It's not that there aren't more Oculus Quest. It's going to be in the 50 range, but they're being exceptionally stringent with what they're going to accept as launch titles. They've already essentially chosen who gets hardware.
But is it restricted because of the content?
I can speak on this. I have worked my butt off this Kinect. He probably can vouch for me. I have literally gone
all the way up the chain.
I had gone as high up as to Carmack. So this is not coming from Carmack, just to preface it, so I'm going to be in trouble, but the understanding that I have is that basically they went to the top 50 or so, maybe a couple more Rift titles, and said, you guys have shipped, you're reliable, here's some dev kits. I've heard that there's a lot of people who have dev kits. I'm very hesitant on some of the people I've heard, but I'm not shocked at some of the other ones I've heard.
I mean,
from what I've heard, though, they are combing through quality. Like, no Go games are going to be enabled for it. It's not going to run. I think Kyle and I had talked. We thought that they were going to enable Gear VR and Go games for it because they're binary compatible.
Right.
They are not.
Why wouldn't they offer?
I'll hold it out as a feature next.
Right.
No. You know, from what I have talked to, they have actually very specifically stated they will never do that for quality. They have specifically said that what they are planning to do is reach out to those devs, have them remake the games for $6, but they will not pay.
That's fine. I'll just use sideload.
Yeah. That might not be a bad thing.
Yeah. We don't have very much pricing power on Go.
Yeah. I think there is a quality issue on Go too.
If
you can separate Quest and say this is a gaming console and we're going to charge gaming console prices, that's good for everybody.
Well, they've announced their key performance indicator, which is that they want to sell 10 million of them.
Whatever.
They said that 10 million, that last year was a billion, but that was going to take too long, so now they've announced this is the headset they want to sell 10 million of, which will be good for anyone who has a title on it, which is the big dog.
It might not be great
for indies until later on when someone has, an Angry Birds.
Well, I don't know. I think that they're going to relax once it's released. I think right now, though, for launch, they want quality. And I can... Actually, as a dev, that does kind of excite me. It's disappointing that I'm not going to be able to work on my game for it until after it's out. But I do think that there needs to be quality control. This is something I've seen a lot of complaints about with VR, is that... I've worked at companies specifically that do not do VR. And every time I've asked about VR, the general thing I've been told is, yeah, VR sucks because they tried a roller coaster demo and they got sick. Or they tried a demo that was running at 30 frames per second and they got sick. And every time I've had to be like, no, that's a bad demo, not
that was 4 years ago.
Right. So
no,
I tried
demos in the past 6 months that were at 30 frames per second.
So before we bring anybody else in, Nicole, what did you have to say?
Yeah, I wanted to just point this out. If you've heard me on stage before, I think I've spoken at 8-9, and I actually met with Zuck, before the Rift launch. And what you want to think about, and this has been true, I was talking about every platform, it changes. And so with VR, what happens is there's new emotions you can activate, and then there's also new affordances, things that you can do.
And what happens with that sort of strategy is that it's more of a management strategy as opposed to a leadership strategy. And so what we have to do to get out of this, you know, trough of disappointment is we have to lead. Because if I'm going to put on it, it's pretty much Call of Duty, but the minis are in 3D, then I'm going to play it on, you know, my Xbox because... It's, you know, that doesn't make me sick, right? So there's got to be enough leadership in that. So the strategy of going is like, okay, you've already shipped on Rift, or what they did to get the Rift titles is that you've already shipped on PlayStation and Xbox and whatever, and we're going to make another Ratchet & Clank on, you know, on Rift or whatever. You know, that's a management strategy. You're trying to mitigate your risk. And then, what you need is a really big chunk of money that's going to go, you know, like moonshot on some very different titles. Because what VR does, I mean, that's what we find with the puzzle game. That's why we do this like puzzle game, is because the depth of immersion and the emotion that you can get is amazing. And you just, if you're just in a fear state with, you know, bullets flying at you, that's fun, its own thing. But there's all of this emotional language and, you know, fun stuff to do that won't come across in a shooting mechanic.
All right, so before we go any further, I'm kicking a few people out of the room. Ryan, John, get out of here. Oh, you got one more thing to say, don't you, Gerald?
Oh, I mean, I was just going to say, I think Eva Hoorth over in Seattle gave a great challenge on trying to make games without shooting. That's been my goal. I made my one shooter. I'm done with it.
Yeah.
So that's my goal now.
It would be a lot easier to fun follow White Rabbit if we shot the rabbit rather than...
Oh, no, don't shoot the rabbits. We love rabbits. All right, Gerald, John, Ryan, thanks for joining. Thank you. Get out of here. Try to send some more people in our way. All right. So we're starting to dwindle down. We're slowly killing off the group here, but the conversation is still really important. And I want to know, does anybody have any major gripes about, like, Quest? What are the things that people wish they could have added to Quest?
I don't have one.
I have a big one.
Add additional video decoding chipset and or make Virtual Link and allow it to be fully natively compatible with Rift titles day one. I do not, besides cost, I do not see why I would not do that. I'm willing to pay more. I'm willing to pay for a $4.99 version of Quest that has a bigger, like.
How much more are you willing to pay? $6.99?
I would absolutely
pay $5.99. Do you own a Rift?
$6.99. I do own a Rift.
Okay.
I also own a PSVR and a Vive, so I'm not a normal person. Okay. I don't know if other people are going to do the same thing
I do. None of us are normal. Come on. Wait.
4K screen, because they're losing money on every sale anyway, so might as well go in deeper.
Yes.
Look, my big concern isn't about the quality of the hardware. It's about the quality of the company that's distributing it. I love Oculus. I'm an Oculus fangirl. But this is a Facebook product. And we've seen in the past year a lot of very disconcerting stuff about the way that Facebook uses information about their user base. Cambridge Analytica, I think, was very alarming to a lot of people. And now we're inviting into our homes this headset that has these four cameras that tracks your entire space, your home. And for me, there's not a lot of stuff that's private about me in general. And I don't care to, if you know, you know. If you don't, that's cool. But as an individual, I don't have a lot of my life that's particularly private. But I do know that that Facebook is a data company, right? And so if now everybody who buys a Quest is providing these scans of their homes to Facebook, they would be stupid if they didn't utilize that data to some degree. So we're providing them that data, and I'm concerned, reasonably so, about how they're going to use it. And maybe they'll be cool with it. Maybe they'll be...
That brings up a really interesting point.
I had to talk about that to an Oculus person.
All right.
Because I expressed my concern, like, yeah, finally, Oculus has a camera to scan everything in your room and know what you buy and monetized.
Yeah.
And in the keynote, we're saying, oh, it saves your data, and then when you come back, it's there. And that really scared the shit out of me. So I talked to somebody, and I say, this is dangerous. What are you doing? And that person said, because I don't say her or she or he, or that person said that the data is actually saved only locally. So it's not streamed on a profile that will be attached to your Facebook account that you're gonna have to any device or stuff. It's only local. So that's a little bit reassuring. And she also mentioned that Well, you know, the Rift has
the sensors, cameras, two little cameras that are watching me doing God knows what.
But it's, it's local stuff.
Right.
So I mentioned, well, you should definitely specify that this is local stuff.
So did anybody notice that, and we're all laughing at what's going on outside of the room as, you know, yeah, that's amazing. Folks are wearing all sorts of fun little gizmos and whatnot. Did anybody else notice that over the course from the time that Facebook bought Oculus to now, the signage went from Facebook really big to presenting Oculus, and Oculus was small, and then Facebook got bigger, and then Oculus got smaller. And then all of a sudden, did anybody even see the word Facebook, the
Never.
Name Facebook, on any of the signage at any of the event stuff this week?
Never.
It flipped, yeah.
Where is the Facebook name?
Is it on the water bottle? Does anyone have the water bottle?
No. No, it's not on there.
I believe it.
What happened? They went bigger and bigger and bigger with Facebook.
Maybe they had to sell it.
Oh,
really?
Why would they sell?
When do companies do that? Sometimes they rebrand.
So the kerfuffle that you are hearing now is that we've got two new folks in the room. Please introduce yourselves to the stream. The stream is right here. They're all standing right here in this tiny little
microphone.
No, just talk loud and boisterously, and we'll be able to hear you.
Well, hello.
There we go.
Thanks for inviting me to the cool podcast. I've actually heard about this podcast a few different times from this guy and this girl. My name is Caleb Eubanks at Reality Check VR. I like to make content and play with VR, and I recognize almost everybody in the room.
You should.
So, this is the OG Center. Thanks for having me.
Yes, absolutely.
Cool.
And we have Mega Woman. Mega Woman.
Someone
yes.
said I look like Peter Pan too. Sure. Yeah, I'm dressed like Dot, the main character of Pixel Rift. I'm the creator of the game. I'm Ana Ribeiro. Thanks for having me here again.
Absolutely.
I remember this podcast back in OC2. That was great, man. Good times. I'm so glad to be here again. Some people from there.
Right.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Cool. Yeah, no, it's wonderful to have folks that were here from the notorious Beach House.
That was the Beach House.
That was the Beach House.
That was unforgettable.
I got like 2 lines to that whole podcast.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. I could re-listen to it.
Can I describe for the listeners?
Yes. Describe what you're standing next to.
She is absolutely killing it in this gorgeous green mini dress with pink accessories, with these pink shoulder pads, like really hardcore shoulder pads, pink gloves, pink, what do you call these?
LED shoes.
Look at those shoes.
Pink like shin guards, pink belts, pink pouches, an OG fucking Game Boy on her
kind
belt.
Of a Samus helmet.
Badass helmet. Samus helmet with like these cool
Valkyrie
yellow.
Wings.
Yeah, just super like.
I like my
wings. Oh, here, let's do a 360 photo, Olivier.
Another
one.
Fucking killing it, looking amazing, and also kicking ass as a fucking game dev.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, I have been seeing you all 2 days. It's not a weekend.
Oh, she's kind of visible too.
You're like. Amazing. What a superstar.
Thank you.
So
amazing.
Now that the two of you are in this podcast, we've discussed this with everybody who's been here so far. What is the big thing that you're taking away from OC5? What is your feeling? What did you love the most?
Well, that's easy. The quest.
Quest? Okay.
I think that now, especially for developers, like seeing everything we went through, seeing all these headsets moving and changing, all the cables and all the hardware and how hard it is to get people in VR. And now finally I think that this is definitely going to be a big game change for VR. Being able to get a game, I can actually walk in a bit with my game now. In a headset, in good people's hands, with no cables. I was really impressed, not just with the price, but also with the tracking and the quality. And I can't wait for the game. That's the next step. Release Pixel Rift for the launch of the Quest. So that's like, I can't wait just to do that. I have the game on this headset, put in people's heads, and be able to tell people $400, get this headset, you can just get and play. It's just, they never had anything like this. I really believe this is going to change the market for everyone and for developers. I'm I'm excited. It feels like OC2 now.
It kind of does, doesn't it?
Because OC2 was before CP1 came out.
That's right.
And we had this super hyped about it. It was exciting.
You know, just as a side note, you mentioned CV1. And I had to explain what CV1.
Yeah, we had dinosaurs.
You know, so.
Wait, do they not call it CV1?
They don't call it CV1. It's just the Rift.
It's the Oculus Rift.
It's the Oculus Rift. But
let's not talk about Gear VR.
But before we had the DK1, the DK2.
Caleb, what was the thing you took away?
Oh, man, I got two things. Number one, the Oculus Quest. The most thing that amazed me was not just the tracking quality got a lot better from when I had previously tried out the prototype from last year. The biggest thing was that Oculus actually decided to give us an arena-based experience to try it out on, which was, you know, eye-opening in how they're actually trying to promote themselves, because it's a little more extreme than what I would expect them to do in allowing us to do something like that. So they were pretty brave for that. I'm happy that they allowed us to do something so cool. And I know a lot of people who weren't into VR before, people who were into paintballing and other things, saw that and it blew their minds. And they, you know, you can see the future of VR because of experiences like that. Number two, my biggest takeaway is Oculus seems to be finally really paying attention to the community as a whole. And not just the streamers. So, as far as it goes, like with content creators, streamers, and even developers that I know, from people I talked to a year ago to now, it seems like they're getting a little bit more support. When it comes to
our work. All right, hold on. Caleb.
Yeah.
Did Oculus pay you to come onto the
Universe? Absolutely not. Sure? Okay. So in years past, I feel like at least some small people get ignored. I know that they're not perfect yet. Absolutely not. But it does seem like they're finally actually trying. And in years past, it seemed like it was difficult. For example, last year there was one person who was flown out to Oculus Connect as a content creator, and they didn't know anything about the Oculus or the people. They're not a part of the community, right? So this year, Oculus decided to send out about a half a dozen or more content creators who love VR and actually do that. So they are actually watching the community more, and they're trying to pay attention to what turns into sales.
The beautiful thing about you saying this, even though it might have been contrary to the entire conversation before you got here,
that's awesome.
Is that your opinion actually is valid? Because your perspective and what you see is maybe different from us, and some of us walk around with, you know, we're a little jaded, or you know,
one point, like the Oculus Start program.
Yeah, start.
Yeah, so that's new.
I don't think that.
And then they did hotel, not for me, but they did hotel for some folks.
I am exclusively here. They gave me a hotel. They gave me opportunities, and they gave me that stuff, knowing who I am. No, I mean, I mentioned to you, Kyle, earlier this week, I'm surprised they even let me come to this shit anymore, because my first time at Oculus Connect, I asked a poignant question to Palmer, who was a big deal at the time, and I apparently almost got someone fired at one point because of a demo that I gave. But I actually don't disagree with you. I mean, between the Launchpad, between Start, between the office hours they offer, I mean, I came here, they gave me access to the conference, they gave me a hotel room, like, they certainly have room to grow. I don't think there's any room for debate on that point. But I do think that we would be remiss if we didn't acknowledge that they are making efforts. And the efforts that they're making are bold. And Rita Tchaikovsky is the head of Oculus Start. And I got to spend some time with her at the conference. And she is someone who just... It's so rare that you find someone who just gives so much of a shit about people and about developers and about helping them and helping to onboard them. And are they, I mean, Kobe's nerfed, right? But I can at least acknowledge that there are efforts being made. I think there could be greater efforts. I mean, we had an offsite indie launch. We have this experience, this wonderful party at SVVR.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad they're doing it. Could it have been something that Oculus did themselves? I honestly don't think so.
I don't know. I do know that we have somebody in the room that has not introduced himself yet.
Hello, I'm Sean Whiting. I am the community team person on Rec Room.
Yay!
Very cool, Rec Room.
We like Rec Room. Yeah.
Sean is also the OG who used to work with Converge, which I used to love.
Back in the day. Converge. Yeah. Now, are you one of the 50?
One of the 50? No, I didn't go to OC1.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
We were too poor.
Are you?
Yeah, right? Can we get a clap for that? Too poor?
Yeah. Pour one up, though.
Yeah. I actually do want to add, though, because since you guys, I wasn't here for the previous conversation, one thing I could say to kind of counter what I said before, it does seem, although Oculus is making all these amazing efforts in some ways for devs and streamers, content creators, it does also seem like they're hiring a lot of new people, which is good and bad. The company's growing, but all these new people don't know about the OGs. They don't know about VR. They don't know about some of us. And because of it, that makes me and other people feel jaded when you get missed, because all these new people are making decisions and doing things and giving other people opportunities and kind of forgetting about the people that started everything.
Oh, yeah. Don't they know who the fuck we are?
No, they don't. Did I ask you, Nicole, are you one of the original 50?
I'm OCT was my first.
Oh, okay, all right.
Not quite. I mean, I was in the, like, the first round 20 years
so
ago.
So can we just say that should be more like the 1,000 or 2,000 even?
Well,
I mean, there are a lot of people. The people who haven't even been able to come to any of the events.
Yeah.
See, that's why these things like the podcast exist, because so many conversations, so many wonderful conversations happen at these events behind closed doors or with groups of people just standing on the corner, hanging out, having a good time.
Has anyone poured one out for Wormslayer yet?
Well, we did do a toast to apps and friends earlier, so that they've all been accurately...
I think you make a really good point, though. I love that we're celebrating the people who have been here since day one. I think that's so important. But by creating this, like, oh, the OC50, we're essentially manufacturing a new form of gatekeeping in a way that I can't imagine how it's truly constructive, except that the people who have been here this long already know each other. They're already celebrating each other. How is it conducive to our community and to the growing deaf community who is really doing this because, like, their heart is in it? Maybe they've been here for 4 years. Maybe they've been here for 3 years. Maybe they just got into it and they're just throwing, like, they are.
Well, here's the problem, though. We don't want to sell them short when we know how hard it is to get anywhere or even to survive. We
That's
don't want to be getting
but is
all these other
of...
people involved who are then going to be let down in certain ways and realize that it's way harder than they thought. I mean, that's a great growing experience.
That's
and
a great
I
point.
Recommend it to everyone. But just...
But are we,
you know,
creating,
I mean,
these this weird, like, caste system of we are the original 50? They actually stood on stage and said the 1%, and I went, you're kidding me. You're really going to use that right now.
I know, and then take note who said
that. Yes.
Right?
And I'm like, well, that's the first thing I tweeted was we are the 1% with the picture of the graph. I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm going to kick somebody out. Nima, you're out of here.
Before I go, I want to say one thing.
Yes.
I want to say that anyone who loves VR is a friend of mine, and you are part of our crew and our family.
Yeah.
And even if you're listening to this podcast, you're one of us, and we appreciate you.
Yeah. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We are going to start wrapping this up because we are running really, really long.
Can I say
longer.
Something then? Because
yes.
I got to say something. Oh, my God. I'm so excited that Kyle is now a part of Upload VR. And personally, I did not care much for Upload VR, but after this weekend, I am now excited to now peruse the site again because of you. So I'm very happy you're a part of it. You are the community leader that I was hoping for to come from them. I mean it, man. Congratulations.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. All right.
All
right. So here's what we're going to do. Mark has come back with Corona, which is one of my favorite beers.
No. Corona Familiar. La cerveza más fina en todo el mundo.
Sí.
Oh, so it's family beer.
So you know what, as he passes us out, we're going to go around the room real quick. Everybody gets a quick 30 seconds-ish.
Yeah,
short, brief, and to the point, but say what you need to say real quick.
Thanks, brother.
Around the corner. And look at this. Beer is being distributed. Beer is being distributed.
It's the best beer ever.
Thank you. Awesome. All right.
Is
Ella?
Is there a bottle opener being distributed?
I have a bottle opener, of course.
I can't open it.
Nice. Community resources.
Yay.
All right.
VR.
A
game
bottle
opener.
Oh,
that is. That is awesome. Actually, you know what? I'm going to end there. I'm going to start here. Kai. You got a couple seconds to say something.
Anything?
Something VR relevant, hopefully. If you have anything you want to add.
Okay.
You don't have to. You just say, never mind, I'll pass.
Okay. VR Chive.
VR Chive.
VR Chive.
Yes. Do that. Okay. Go ahead. Next.
Hey, this is Sean. I would just say I went to the, was it like the VR Indie Expo? Was that what that
thing is called? The Indie Dev Lounge, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I just got a really good vibe from that, like seeing people hacking on VR for the first time. And I would just encourage anyone listening to this, like if you're really into VR but you haven't taken that first step of like building something or connecting with a community yet, just take that first step, like make a build, push it out. If you're not an engineer or you're not, you don't want to build stuff, you're just an enthusiast, find a community locally or online. So, you know, see if you've got a meetup in your area, go to meetup.com, find a bunch of friends that are into VR. And if there's no meetup near you, just hop in VR chat, hop in Rec Room, hop in High Fidelity, hop in any one of the social VR apps and just connect with people that share that passion, and that'll just carry you like a huge distance. So that's what I'd recommend.
Excellent. All right. Good job. All right. Dave Kinney came in late.
Yes.
And that's okay, but we're wrapping it up. It's all right.
Oh, it's over.
Yeah. introduce yourself and take 30 seconds and say whatever the heck you want to say about OC5.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Of course, we all come here just to meet people, right? And have a good time. You know what? I don't really think I have much to say other than I just appreciate
all. Would you like to hawk your wares?
Nah.
No?
I'll see it when it comes out.
All right, fine. Justin.
I have a message to Oculus. I mean...
Uh-oh.
I have a message. You know, I'm rolling my eyes and holding my forehead right now.
This is a message I've had to them several times.
All right.
And there's some evidence that this could have been the direction of Quest. Where's the friggin' hybrid system? We talked about this earlier a little bit.
Plug it into your computer and let
this thing is fully capable of both Rift experiences and mobile experiences. And I don't know how many of the original 50 have access to Santa Cruz / Quest, but there were some interesting things there that suggested that's where they were headed. There's really obvious things, but for whatever reason, they're not doing it. But there was things set up there. And so, like, come on, since the DK2, there was a friggin' cell phone screen. It said Samsung on it.
Yes.
That was the DK2. That plugged into a computer. Had a battery, had a GPU. Now it's mobile as well. So, my point is, come on. And people are going to want desktop experiences. The Quest is awesome. You have everything you need. Take over the industry like you once wanted to. Because, I mean, the Quest is amazing. People are going to catch up. Just do it.
Software update?
Beautiful. Awesome. Sounds great.
Possible. Okay.
Go for it, Olivier. What do you got?
I don't know. I feel sad. But, well, you know, this is wrapping up and always a short trip. Like, everything is always shorter.
Yeah.
And it feels diluted for me. But I really feel hopeful about the Indie Lounge. You know, I was really happy to host it and with Blair. I know it's going to come back next year, bigger and better, and I would love, this time I'm going to do my best even more to make sure that we branch out to where we want to go with all the indies, all our friends, and keep that alive.
Very cool. Yeah. So now you traveled so far, you're going back home to Pittsburgh, right?
Is that a Pittsburgh
accent? Nobody ever wants to go back.
That's definitely a Pittsburgh accent. I'm from the Midwest, I know. Nicole, what do you got?
Well, I think I got a message just for all the people, you know, out there. I wanted to emphasize a lot of what other people were saying and collected out. And then just to think about inspiring yourselves about what VR is, because it's a big candy box. It's a big box of candy, and we've, like, eaten two of the samples, right? That's it. And so, like, just dig into your own experiences, you know, your childhood, those dreams, those fantasies of, like, well, what could, you know, in the possibility of, like, the best of all possible worlds, what would be super fun experiences to have? And then make some VR about that. You know, don't be limited about what you played on Xbox or mobile phone or whatever. You know, think about all the human ways in which we can interact. You know, there's four kinds of fun. You know, look for new emotions, because that's going to be the life that really breathes into VR that'll get us to mass adoption. And that's, you know, we need lots of different voices.
You're popping a memory into my head. From the very, very first days of VR, even before the DK1 came out, the sentence, "Wouldn't it be cool if?" And that really pushed a lot of people. And that's exactly what you just said. And that message, I need a t-shirt with that on there. Wouldn't it be cool?
And that's what it is. Because when you go there, like, VR is a trip to Wonderland, right? Mm-hmm. And I actually grew up in Wonderland. I grew up overseas, like riding camels, climbing pyramids, exploring pyramids in real life.
Wow.
Right, as a kid. And VR is this first platform where I can actually do that, right? And recreate those emotions that I had, right? And then bring all my friends. So, like, let's build tree houses. Let's, you know, go down the, you know, Amazon.
The power to share our dreams.
Treehouse VR coming soon. All right, Jesse, what do you got for us?
I have been in VR here since the DK1, the Kickstarter. I have good days and I have bad days, and I have days that rip my hair out, and I have days that I feel ecstatic. But even on the worst of those days, I have to remember what it's like to be leading in an industry where leading the people that are going to follow us, all of us, OGs, and even the people whose first Oculus Connect was this year, we're all so far ahead of a curve that I have to remember how lucky we are.
Yep.
You know, we have friends here and we see each other and we know each other all because we are the ones who figured out how powerful this can be. And who has chances like that, right? It wasn't by birthright or anything like that, although those things would certainly seem to benefit everyone in the room. But, like, we also knew when we saw it what we wanted to do with it, and we were in the right place at the right time, and I don't know, I feel really lucky.
The thing is, so because of VR chat, you know, my story with VR chat is our friendship began in VR.
Yep.
And it was the way for us to connect, to really be there together, and as VR, that's where we saw each other in real life. We knew each other by voice, not by name. There was that magical moment where it completely sealed VR as something that will change everything for us as a creation, expression.
I'll tell you right now, listening to you, Jesse, it was like listening to Abresh. These are the good old days. It's exactly what I heard from what you said.
Yeah.
It was just so nice.
But
that
beyond that, it's just like, who has the opportunity to be at the head of an industry?
Right. No. Absolutely.
Right.
You know?
We all do. We are all here because we are.
Yeah.
At the head
even
of that
even
industry.
The folks who this was their first OC,
yeah.
They're still gonna look like the OG 20
yes,
years from now.
Exactly.
So that's what's awesome about it. All right, Caleb. Final words.
Final words.
Final words.
Man, am I so excited to be here right now? OC5. I've been in VR since OC1, but I wasn't, like we talked about before, I didn't have the money or the means to be a part of it, nor did I feel like I was a part of the community. So, you know, there's a lot of people out there that I think maybe want to be involved in it, but aren't right now. And I think as far as any kind of advice that I could give is just do something. Do something and start following any of your passions and consistently keep at it. It took me 4 years to finally get to an Oculus Connect. I got to be here last year, and now I'm here again this year, and things have slowly grown. I've slowly been able to do more and more things. But I think the drive and the passion in VR right now has to not be about money. It has to be about passion. If you want to get rich right now, go do something else. If you want to have fun,
all right, see you later.
Get a great community, yes. And actually, you know, experience things that have never been experienced before. VR is a great place to do it because you can create experiences that have never been done before. My favorite thing about Unity with DK2 was making things and playing at home, knowing that nobody else has done this before, and I'm by myself. And, you know, yeah, years later, here we are experiencing finally standalone headsets. So, yeah, my two cents is get involved if you want to be involved. And VR is not just about its games. It's about experiences. It's more important for hospitals and schools and for jails than it is for the average person, and we need to really think about not just having fun experiences, but having transformative experiences, because I love that stuff, and this community genuinely is like one of the best communities I've ever been a part of, and so you guys are my family, thanks for having me.
All are welcome. Break the rules.
Right.
I love it.
Right.
I love it. All right. Anna.
I'm in the same vibe. I'm happy to be here. Just trying.
That's good.
For me, Oculus Connect is actually connecting this community and I am now living in Brazil, so for me, coming back here, it's a way to, like, see friends from everywhere around the world. We're all from different countries, but we're all connected by this passion for VR, and such a small... It feels like, oh, there's a lot of people, but it's actually a pretty small group still.
Yeah.
And it's such a great opportunity to just come here and meet everyone and see everyone and keep connected and see what everyone is doing, what everyone's creating. Be inspired by every developer and every content creator and everyone involved. That's what is the best thing for me here, and being here with you guys now, just, you know, connecting, seeing everyone, catching up. That's, for me, was the best about this. I wasn't here too until the first one, unfortunately. Like, many people want to be here, but it couldn't be. And, you know, for the ones that start to, I agree, if you're starting now, it doesn't mean you're missing out. This is the beginning.
Yes. These are the good old days, right?
Yeah. This is just the beginning.
It's easy to reach, and the knowledge is out there for VR. You can... If you start from zero, no, use the knowledge that we've been figuring out for the past
few years. Yeah, we're learning, we're all discovering right now.
And
all these new headsets coming, it's like, who knows what we can do with that? So get your hands on it and go crazy, like you said. Get your memories from childhood, do your dreams, and stick to it.
Follow your dreams.
I have been 4 years working on this game.
Yeah.
I have like moments that I didn't have any money, I have moments that I had some money, but... When you love something, just get something you love, because it will be hard moments and good moments, but if you love something, have a dream, go for it. And VR is for the dreamers.
VR is for the dreamers. Yes. Beautiful.
We're opening worlds for the others.
Excellent. All right,
let's
now.
Let's go crazy.
The enforcer, our bodyguard, our door bouncer, has let somebody in. At the end, you've come in at the end of the podcast, but that doesn't mean that you're any less important. Introduce yourself and tell us what you thought of OC5, and then wrap it up.
Wow.
I know, I'm sorry. You just kind of came in at a goofy time. Yeah, so, no, that's all right. Go ahead.
Hello,
we give you plenty of time. Talk all you want. Go ahead.
Okay, so my name is Mariana Vallejo. I'm CEO of Datamagic Productions. We're working on a game called Witching Tower VR. It's coming out October 4th. It's a first-person action adventure where you have like melee combat mixed with puzzles and exploration. It's very like dark, gothic-themed game, and that's my personal passion. I like dark stuff and like horror stuff. And OC5, what inspired me the most is that this year, they particularly highlighted that, like, we are in the beginning of something that will become big, and like we're making the future, and we're building this ecosystem that will like build the road for other developers to hop in later. And I'm in game industry for about 10 years, and I was never in the beginning of anything. So, like, we were late with. The console was PC, like we were already, like the industry already existed. But now it's like so exciting as an indie studio to be part of something, like when you're building this from scratch, and like you can really influence that, and that's really inspiring. And it's crazy how we can, as an indie studio, make something that will be really visible for players, where like in other like PC or whatever, like you will get lost most likely because we're small, we don't have a lot of marketing money and stuff like that. But now we can really expand on like the adventure genre, and VR can really bring it to the next level, and it's just super exciting for us. And it's something that like is blowing my mind for the last couple of years.
And what's the name of the game again?
Witching Tower VR.
Witching Tower VR.
Yeah.
So go check that out. October. Oculus doesn't get their own month. Speed it out as a robot. October 4th, you said?
Yeah.
And on Rift?
Rift and HTC Vive.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're going to be on Steam first, and most likely on the Oculus Store a little later, because they want really smooth frame rate, and we're still working on it.
if you could tell us one thing that you're going to take away from OC5 and go back to the team and go, this is the sentence that says this is OC5, what would you say?
I would say we would rather need to focus on the smaller but more polished experience that can be ported to Quest than to try to make a bigger game that will take 2 years to complete.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Yes. Very well said. Thank you. Awesome. I apologize that you came in at such a late moment, and we're kind of wrapping up. I have one last person that I know has plenty to say. Go ahead, Ella. Wrap it up for us.
Hi, my name is Ella Darling. You may know me from pornography, especially in virtual reality. I am currently representing the CMO of an adult standalone VR headset called PVR Iris. If you like porn and VR, check it out. I'm also stepping out of porn for the first time in like a fucking decade, basically, in a new app called Gonzo VR, which is live broadcasting October 1st, Steam. That's cool. But what I really want to say is that if you're listening to this, you might be here. You might have never been to a VR conference at all. You might be excited about your upcoming VR conference next year or in 2 years. I want you to know that you are one of us. You are one of the people who are building a future. We are all, everyone in this room, everyone at this conference, whether your app lasts a year or a lifetime, you are creating something that is part of an experience that will outlive all of us. This is something that is brand new, that history is going to remember. VR is nascent still. We've been around for years, but we're still brand new, and you are a part of it. Whether you're creating, or you're about to create, or you're inspired to create, we are all on the same page. We are all part of this amazing moment, and I think it's really incredible and really beautiful, and it's something that unites us all. Whether you're a filthy pornographer or someone who's making really aspirational educational materials, we're all creating something that is going to outlive us. And I think that's incredible. I think that's beautiful. And I think this is an opportunity we honestly would be hard-pressed to find in any other space, in any other vertical, in any other part of our lives. And I would like to close out this podcast by raising a toast to everyone in this room, to everyone listening, to everyone who is or has been or will be in VR. Thank you all. Thank everyone listening. Woo-hoo! Thank everyone to
yes.
come. Fuck yes. Cheers.
All right. Cheers. 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 Yes. Now, you know,
and to our champion, Rev Kyle.
Oh, thank you,
Kyle.
All right, I want to make a few observations real quick, and we'll shut this thing off. Raise your hand if you were in here when I turned the record button on. There is one,
yep.
I think two, and that's it. So it's just me and Olivier?
Really?
Yeah. Notice what happened.
It's your route.
Notice what happened.
It sounds like I told you about hours ago.
You know, Olivier and I have a very special relationship. He is Han Solo, and I am his Chewbacca. It's always been that way since OC1, when he would rent a van.
I don't even know what that means.
I was always his navigator. I got to sit in the front seat with him every time because nobody else was as good with the GPS and Google Maps as I was. We always got everywhere we needed to go. And Olivier always drove. And, you know, it's amazing how awesome this guy drives. I'm not going to, you know.
I'm going to say notes.
Yeah.
You try my demo today.
That's right. And I sent this as Universal. Wonderful thing. I want to thank everybody in the room for being wonderful. I want to thank everybody who left and I kicked them out. You guys have all been fantastic. OC5 is over. Go home. Go in peace to create and serve in VR.
Shit is over.
Amen. Let's go. Thanks for listening. Goodbye. See you.